We are Science Fiction Revenant, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games.
This is Season 1, Episode 20, TV show Cowboy Bebop, Season 1, Episode 1, Asteroid Blues for October 3rd, 2020.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant. Thank you so much for coming back.
This means a lot to us. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. I gotta say from my heart, this episode is special to me. I hope that you guys enjoy it just as much.
If you like this show and know someone who might like this podcast, please share it. It would help us greatly in growing this channel.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant and share any comments you have about this podcast with your friends and family. Also, you can find our website, www.sciencefictionremnant.com.
Yep, and in this episode, we have the one of the hosts for a podcast that we recently started listening to called Perfectly Average Guys. And basically is a, I think they do a great job in bringing you in their private, friendly conversations.
It's very easy to feel related to what they're talking about, how they're talking about, and they make you feel like you're in the room with them. I think we highly recommend it to our listeners. You guys should check them out for sure, and it's going to be great having them in this show today.
Yep. And this is how the conversation went. Today's episode, we're really excited because we're doing our second collaboration.
Second and your best.
There you go.
Easily your best.
Hey, we can't agree on that, man.
So for all of you who are listening right now, we are doing a collaboration. We Perfectly Average Guys is a podcast that I started listening recently. And like you have heard me multiple times, I always feel like I am being invited to a friendly chat with friends. I don't know if you, what do you think?
That's exactly the same team. Like sometimes I feel bad that I cannot just go like, dudes, wait up. I want to comment on this.
So, and we have one of the hosts, Duncan, and go ahead and introduce yourself and say a little bit about your podcast.
Hello. My name is Duncan Walla. My opinions do not matter. All right. They just don't. They put no stock in my opinions. Okay. But nah, I am a theater person from the Midwest. I do a podcast with my best friend, Jackson Cartwright. And in all honesty, to tell you about myself, I'm just not trying to make a big deal out of myself. I'm no more special than anyone else. And I just want to do fun stuff on the internet with my friends.
Cool. Yeah, we could definitely agree with that.
We are all perfectly average, man.
Yeah.
Oh, deep. Speaking of deep, so glad I get to be on this episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're really excited. And for, you know, just so you guys know, we're doing a TV show anime that we actually love. We're really invested into this. It's called
It's Cowboy the greatest Bebop. Of all time. Yeah.
Greatest. And we decided that we can baptize all of you guys into this new world by picking the first episode. So hopefully, you know, you guys can take it from there. And go ahead.
This is actually the first anime we're going to talk about, right?
Yes. So we're baptizing all of you now with anime. And one of
I'm baptizing you into the weebdom. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Naruto.
So why I think it's so great is because I don't know if this is happening to you, but when I talk to some of my friends, they are not familiar with anime. And when I say, okay, there's this great anime you should watch, could be a movie, could be a TV show, doesn't matter. The first thing out of their head is like, oh, I'm not going to read that. You know, I just want to sit down and watch something in English and just, you know, I don't want to bother with reading the subtitles. I'll miss the thing. And one of the great things about this TV show, this anime, is the fact that it's in English. I mean, if you want to get your Japanese on, you can still get it in Japanese. But it is great. It's in English. You can just watch it, and it's very relatable.
I have a pretty controversial opinion. If you prefer sub over dub, that's because you prefer having sub because you can't tell that the show is bad when it's in sub. I'm being real here.
Yeah,
you can't tell that the show is bad. But when you have amazing voice actors, like, wait, who's the voice actor for Spike?
Oh, yeah.
Man, okay, I'm pulling it up right now.
It's Wolverine for X-Men.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing. This show actually made record for that. Because if you think about it, if you think back, this is the best, the first time that you see great cast in both in voice acting and in anime.
Yep. Yeah.
Think back from that show, and you'll see good voice acting, but not like this level. I mean, these guys are professionals.
Well, it's like the
Japanese speaker for Cowboy Bebop for Spike. Mm-hmm. It's also very famous in Japanese. And I want to disclose you something to you and Duncan. The first time that I watched Cowboy Bebop was for a channel that doesn't even exist anymore, which it was Locomotion.
Whoa.
And it was in Japanese.
I remember that.
And it was subbed in Spanish. Yeah.
Because, you know, you probably agree with me, and especially prior to the show, I would watch everything in Japanese with subtitles because the acting was so bad. I just hated it. So I think that actually, that show brought the bar up for all animes that coming after it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can just compare it to other anime of the time, like Gundam Wing. Because, okay,
yes.
If my father ever hears me say this, he will disown me. But Gundam Wing is not the best anime.
Which of the old Gundam Wings?
Mobile Suit. Mobile Suit Gundam Wing. The one that had all the kids.
Mobile Suit.
Yep. It was the one from, I think, 1988. So, super old. But, what was it? I was telling you guys this before the show. My father would watch anime with us because my father was just a Chad. But... My father would watch anime with, it was like he would watch Dragon Ball. He would watch that with us. That was fun.
Dragon Ball.
I'm surprised.
I'm gonna put this on the show. Robert haven't watched Dragon Ball,
but I watched when I watched the entire Naruto. So,
You were saying, Duncan.
Go ahead. Sorry, we get sidetracked sometimes. Hello? Yeah, go ahead. You were saying? We get sidetracked sometimes.
Oh, no. The last 35 seconds got cut out for me.
Oh, okay.
But, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Oh, man. So when my father would always watch anime with us, I was telling you guys this before the show, and this really gets us into what I think is the best thing about Cowboy Bebop, is, oh, my Lord, the atmosphere.
Yes.
From the very first scene of the very first episode, you got the blues play and you got the basically all black and white. It's telling you it's noir. Mm-hmm. It's raining. There are shots to gunshots. He flicks off a cigarette and a rose falls to the ground with slowly getting more color, showing the red and the blood all about
heavy
it.
Heavy rain.
It's just, oh my Lord.
Yeah, it's amazing.
My father told me when I was young, hey, these old anime, this is where the art is. Like, young 12-year-old Duncan thought, hey, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is as good as ever going to get. I was so wrong. The art in Cowboy Bebop or Evangelion, it's just incredible. And I think it's especially amazing in Cowboy Bebop when you take a look at just the long stills that they'll give you of just shadows into a sunset. And it gets you to really feel that these are jaded adults in a broken, empty world.
Yeah.
Just from the first shot. They're all adults. They're all, you know, like for me, a young adult who's currently trying to like figure out who he is. This isn't a coming of age story. It's they've already come of age and they've all messed up.
Yeah.
It hits you right from the first shot.
It's being reborn.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I just find it amazing how this show just brings you in and you get all the feels.
Yep.
Every single detail.
And every single episode is just packed with a full story.
Oh yeah.
You know?
They go from like every single genre. Every single one.
Yep. Yeah. So we started the show. And for all of you who are brought into this world for the first time, the show is about a group of bounty hunters, and they're basically just making ends meet, just trying to find a bounty so they can make money.
They're always broke. It's great. Yeah. Every single episode they have no money.
It's kind of funny. We were actually just laughing in this episode, Asteroid Blues, where he said, dinner's ready. And we have...
Bell's beef and pepper.
That's such a meme. That's such a great Cowboy Bebop meme.
Oh my God.
And I love that part, man.
He's being serious and he's telling, okay, this is the next bounty. And he's like, hey, Jet. Yeah, and he's completely ignoring him. It's like there's no beef in here.
When mom says that there's food at home, the food at home. Yeah, that. Oh, I also the thing is, yeah. Go ahead.
It's like a parent.
Yeah.
Jet is like the parent of the crew.
Yeah, kind of. Right? Yeah.
Well, no, because the thing is, all of them are running away from their past. The thing about Jet, you don't get it from the first episode, right? But the thing about Jet, you get from him like, hey, he's the moral center. He's the type of guy who's looking out for him. But he's still tough, right? He's still a little, sorry about that. He's still a little tough, you know? But still, he's the one who has the old traditional values. You kind of get that from the first episode. My cats are currently attacking me. I'm so sorry. But yeah, they're cute. Anyway, but from... All of them are running away from their past, right? And that's the whole motif of everything.
Yeah.
And then just from that one line, because everything in Cowboy Bebop means something, there's no throwaway line. And that's what I love about it, among other things.
Yeah.
But that throwaway line where it says, hey, you said it was going to be bell peppers and beef. And he says, well, it is bell peppers and beef when you're broke. Like, who can feel that? Like, whenever you're out of money, it's like, that's like the most relatable line I've ever heard. Is, well, you know what? It is
everybody bell peppers that goes to college and have to eat ramen for dinner every night gets that.
Well, especially when you're like a middle-aged man, like Jet, saying like, I'm broke. This is what we got. It's like, I've had my whole life up to this point, and I'm still eating bell peppers and beef without the beef.
Yep.
Like if that ain't the moral story of Cowboy Bebop, what is?
Wow. Yeah.
The funny thing is that Jet just like the parent, just like you say, the moral center of the whole crew, lists them everything why there's no money.
Oh yeah, that was so funny. That's so funny. It's like why we have beef.
Well, because it sets up the dynamic between the two male characters, like, immediately.
Yeah.
That Jet is the straight student. He's always eyes ahead. He's the kind of gruff and square guy. Whereas Jet is the cool, very, how do you say, he's like Han Solo, right?
Yeah.
He's very suave. He has a lot of panache to him, to use a $5 word. And in that panache, he's a little careless, right? Or he comes off as careless. Because you see in the fight that he has with, what is it, Asimov later?
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite lines that he has, because Jet really is the story of the whole thing. Not Jet, sorry. Spike is the story of the whole thing, because when he says to Asimov, you use your eyes too much, right? You rely too much on your eyes. That's what Spike has been doing his whole life. He's not using his eyes. He's all feeling. He feels everything. And I love that.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's a great character.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. I think Spike, yes, you're right. It's the center of the story, and I feel they didn't make justice to giving better background story on Jet, to be honest. Yeah. If you think about it, the other crew members that joins after, they have practically a whole episode giving a background story about them. But Jed is kind of blurry.
Well, Jed gets the episode about his girlfriend he was going to marry, who left him for, like, some crook. And he also gets the story about how he lost his arm to a crooked cop. Right? He got betrayed by his ex-partner. So he gets some fleshing out to him. I would say that his story doesn't end like the other two's does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. There's no end to it. I have a question. Is your show primarily meant for people who've already watched the medium, the media that you're talking about?
Well, we kind of say in our promos and in our descriptions that there are spoilers. So we're going to talk about everything. So if you have not watched this, you might want to watch it first before listening to our podcast kind of thing. Yep. So that's what we're all about.
Yeah, because when you're talking about Cowboy Bebop, you're never just talking about Cowboy Bebop. All right. Yeah, there's a reason there's a reason why this is the greatest anime of all time.
Yeah. And honestly, to tell you the truth, one of the few things that I could sit down and just listen to the soundtracks is Yoko Kanno, which is the director and the composer for Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. Oh my lord. I have
all the music, man.
Yeah. I have Tank the opening. I have it on every single playlist, man. It's so good. It's so good.
Like, I can tell you, I can list you maybe 5-6 songs that I love about it. Digging My Potato, See Your Space Lion. I mean, it's just, there's so many songs that are just wonderful about it.
Yeah, I know that the soundtrack is, it's just killer, right? You go from blues to funk to, you know, swing to jazz. You got everything. You got some bluegrass up in there. Yes. It just is so evocative. The whole thing. Because we were talking about the atmosphere, right? The atmosphere is so evocative. It makes you feel something.
That's actually what I was saying before. It's just like, and I think in anything, especially in sci-fi, we talked about it many episodes before. And we talked about it in our episode for John Carter. The whole idea is, you know, when you read the medium, you watch the medium, whatever, it brings you in. It just sucks you into the story. Yes. Like I said, the ultimate VR. And I think this anime does that in a way that it actually makes you feel too. You watch, you're inside this story. And that's actually why I love this anime.
Yeah. Well, how do I say it? There's something about Cowboy Bebop that is lovable, both at a shallow level, because like it's flashy, it's fun, it looks astounding, it sounds great, the characters are dynamic, and their banter is just so lovable.
Yeah,
and you get great moments, you get great action, especially for how early this anime is. The action is astounding. So you get you get all the superficial things that are just bam, 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 perfect. But the more you look into it, every single time that you look into it, it feels like it's just infinite in how deep you can get into it. Because the moment that you get into the themes of the story, which is, you know, it's basically people running away from their past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And coming to terms with their past. And I'd say the moral of the story is that it's the journey that matters, not the destination. Because you get somebody like Spike, who he's all about the journey. He's all about the feel. He's all about the moment. And the moment that he gets to the destination, spoiler alert, he dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It was never about the destination. It was all about the journey of him getting his woman and killing Vicious.
I was going to say something because I know this is brewing in Giancarlo's head. And anybody that knows me knows. They absolutely knows that if I follow... Like when I watch a movie, when I watch a show, the show and the movie could be awesome. But if the person that you're vested in dies at the end, the entire franchise is crap.
Okay.
Okay. I know this is coming because I can see him in his face. So I can tell you this means a lot coming from me that I love the show.
I know.
Okay.
Okay. That's true.
I love it when the characters die. Yeah, go ahead.
There's good shows that he's like, I don't like him. I'm like, why? Because the character died.
Yeah.
Like, but the show is fucking badass.
Yeah.
So you hated Game of Thrones, is what you're telling me.
Oh, there's a story in Games of Thrones, okay? I watched the entire season one. And while I was watching that, I read book one, hated it. But I thought, okay, let me get book two. Because maybe, you know, that's just your introduction. Book two, hated it. Book three, hated it.
Okay. A Song of Ice and Fire book being an introduction, that's like 500 page introduction.
Well, but you know, I was giving it, you know, far fetched, you know, I was giving it, you know,
you were being hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful.
Benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. So I read, what is it? I think I ended at five and I was like, you know, fuck this. And I never watched season two ever. So yeah, that's
man, I love characters dying. I love it so much. I'd rather a character die than have a character go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Right? Like, I hate Naruto.
It's a dynamic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have very weird taste. And my friends know this.
I know, man. I mean, it's life. People die. People can get killed.
When I hear that comment, you know what my comeback is? Like, you know, I work all day. My brain is mush. When I want to get home, I want to just enjoy a good, you know, rainbows and butterflies. You're like a fan, this man. So, yeah. But, you know, I have a weird taste, and that's fine.
So, did you like Endgame? Do you like Marvel?
Marvel?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Marvel Endgame. The main character dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, that's different. You know, they I have the hope that in one of the dimensions he's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I get it. Okay, I get it now.
But I'll tell you something about Cowboy Bebop and the main story and like about what's going on with every characters. If you think about it, something that gets to the people that watch it is that at some level, we can relate to most of the characters and not all of them.
Yeah,
Everybody has a heartbreak. Everybody has something that didn't get closure from the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everyone's been betrayed. We all
want to move forward in our life. We all want to find a new journey. And that's kind of what's going on in Cowboy Bebop all along the whole series.
Mm-hmm. And to a point, they don't even trust each other.
Yeah,
if you think about it, because they've been burned in the past.
That's true.
You know, to a point, you know, because they still like, especially Jet and Spike have this dynamic, and you get the feel that they trust each other, but to a point, they still, you know,
they know their flaws.
Yeah.
Well, you could bring up especially for Spike. Spike's my favorite character in it. But especially for Spike, like, he got betrayed by his best friend Vicious, right? Who's the villain? If you could even say Cowboy Bebop has a villain, is the villain of the series, right? He got betrayed by him, and he was just as much a partner in crime with him as he is with Jet. Yeah. See, all of them have been betrayed, and all of them just have, you know, they already had their story, right? If you rewound the clock of Cowboy Bebop 20 years for each, oh no, sorry, not 20 years, 10 years for each character, you get three very distinct and very commonly done stories. You get something like Faye Valentine. Her story was an amnesiac.
She's more than 10
struggling
years.
Yeah, an amnesiac struggling to find a new place. Or Spike was this thrifty man who fell in love with the wrong woman in a crime syndicate. And you have Jet, who was this good cop in a bad force, trying to make his way. Like, how many times have we heard those stories? Mm-hmm. They're all really good stories. We like them. But it's basically taking the characters from these tropes that we all know so well and saying, okay, what's their life like after their journey?
Yeah.
Well, it's beef and peppers without the beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's symbolic, man.
It's Shakespeare, man. I tell you, if Shakespeare was able to see Cowboy Bebop, he would have changed everything he would have written.
And as he doesn't get more poetic that it is, the first episode is basically they finding a guy that is selling drugs in Tijuana in an asteroid nearby Mars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. See you, Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The first episode is so solid, though. It gives you the chills the whole way through.
Yeah.
It is one of the best shows that has a best first episode, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because if you think about it, and again, not all shows are like this, but typically, the first episode of every show is used to set you up.
Yeah.
And that's why typically they end up being boring, because they got to make sure the audience know what everybody is. So then when episode two comes in, the main story can begin and everybody can understand. But I think they did a great job, and the first episode is amazing. And you still get, although you don't get the whole crew right away, but you get their story, kind mm-hmm. of. You know, you get a feel for what the show is going to be about, and you're not going to be lost in the second episode.
Well, here's something I think that it does really well. Avatar: The Last Airbender also does this really well. But something that Cowboy Bebop does astoundingly well is that it drops you right in with a story. And it doesn't take any time introducing the characters. It's just bam, bam. Here's the story. They're bounty hunters. But it's something that is entertaining upon first viewing. And then when you go back and watch it again, you realize how properly set up it was. Mm-hmm. Like it might as well be the episode where they tell you everything about them, because you see from that very first moment, everything about what Spike wants and is going to do is there in that first episode. From his trauma of like losing his girl and getting kicked out of the syndicate, that's in the first 10 seconds, right? Yes. Yes. That's in the first 10 seconds. And then it shows you how he does this whole thing, doesn't give a crap about the money, because the money's the destination. He starts caring the moment that there's a girl involved.
Yeah.
Right? He thinks like you're a small fry to what's the bad guy's name?
They call it Red Eye Wolf.
They're the Red-Eyed Coyote.
It's like the
Red-Eyed Coyote. Like, who cares about that? You know, he immediately jumps into it. It's like, oh, okay, there's a girl involved. Now, suddenly, it's not a small fry. I don't care about the money. That's about... Yeah, well... Because he says the moment that Faye, Ayn, and Ed all join... This is one of my favorite lines in the entire series. But when you get Faye Valentine, for those of you who don't know anything about Cowboy Bebop, she's my second favorite, my third favorite female character of all time. You get Ed, who's this little amazing little child character, and Ayn, who's a corgi. They're all very important, okay?
And we get to see Ayn in the trailer for Netflix for the live action.
Yeah.
It's going to suck.
Well, I'm keeping hopeful. I'm keeping hopeful. I'm like crossing my fingers and also my legs.
I'm crossing my legs because I don't want them to have non-consensual sex with me. Like my legs are crossed. I have my pepper spray out. I'm like, don't do this to me, Netflix.
I'm just hoping. I just pray to God, you know?
See, I was praying about Avatar: The Last Airbender, but they just... They took all my goodwill and threw it out of the trash the moment that they. They removed the original creators. Yeah.
What?
Disclosure. I just need to get Robert into The Last Airbender, man. I've watched you more than 7 times, so I just love it as much as you do.
And I can tell you, and I get a lot of hate when I say this, but I love the movie. the movie was good.
You know, you deserve a lot of hate for that.
But once you realize I have not seen the show, then that changes to like, oh.
No, that's no.
poor guy. You know, he doesn't know what he's missing.
I'll have you know, I think I got Mr. John here beat. I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender 33 times.
Oh wow!
The most recent time. I mean. There's a story behind how much I love Avatar, mostly because of being a lonely person growing up and having very few friends. But Avatar was my comfort food for so long. And I recently rewatched it with my girlfriend, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, I know why I loved it so much. So I'm entirely biased when I tell you you're wrong.
Well, I have good news, right? I watched the first episode, and I'm getting started. You know, I'm going to watch the. I liked it. I really liked it.
I need to put the whole show in a syringe and put it in intravenous into him.
Oh, I forced my co-host to watch the whole thing. No, because on Perfectly Average Guys,
you did him a favor. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, on the Perfectly Average Guys, you know, my podcast, which all of you guys should go subscribe to, leave a 5-star review on, tell your friends to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, make a fake account and also subscribe with that account.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah,
yes.
You get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Hey.
We do.
Me making my fake account for my own podcast. That is sad, but it's funny. But on the Perfectly Average, yeah, on Perfectly Average Guys, the moment I found out that Jackson, my good friend of many years, had never watched Avatar, it broke a part of me.
No.
Yeah.
I just never knew if I could trust him again. Much like the characters of Cowboy Bebop.
Wow.
Oh my.
Yeah, I'm sure Giancarlo feels the same way.
John, do you have any cruel treatment that you've been giving Robert? Like, like anytime you see him, always like crossing your heart, making sure that like this unholy creature doesn't touch you.
Yeah, I get so super gloomy every time that I try to get him to watch it. Just undo it still. And I watch Avatar: The Last Airbender. I'm not kidding to you, man. More than 20 times.
Oh, I know it's so good.
Just so you get it.
My girlfriend can testify to this. Throughout most of our viewing together, I quoted it scene for scene. I really do love that show.
Let me tell you, I like it so much. There's a Nickelodeon version where they have commentary as the show is going on, and yep. I watch it completely.
So you can probably cite the commentary for me too, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. When I was telling you that, it's like, hey, there's a reason why it's the greatest anime of all time. I said the greatest anime of all time because Avatar: The Last Airbender isn't technically an anime. I was very particular with my words there.
Yeah. And you know, it kind of like we have kind of like the same conversation because at first I thought it was an anime, but it was what, Nickelodeon. So technically it's not.
It's kind of a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the Avatar made its own genre, much like, you know, this will lead into Cowboy Bebop, don't worry. But Avatar made its own genre of a manime. So American-made cartoons in the style of anime. So it was trying to get that Eastern vibe to it. It was trying to make it feel like it came out of Japan. And other anime are like, what is it? Knights of Sidonia. That's on Netflix. Or Castlevania. Both of those are anime. But much like how Avatar made its own genre, oh boy, did Cowboy Bebop make its own genre.
Oh, yes. Oh,
of that neo-noir space western. Like, even now, if you go and watch Mandalorian, you can see hints of Cowboy Bebop in it.
I don't know if you agree with this, but I think Firefly borrowed from it, too.
Yes, I do. 100%.
I'm sure.
Doesn't Firefly feel like the Western version of Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's still in the future. You still, like, you know, spaceships. And then hurl cows into it, and they have six shooters, and it's just, you know, when you watch it, you get that feel.
And something about it feels similar with the two main protagonists are people who have already had their character arc, have already had their big adventure, and now they're just people.
Yeah.
Now they're just people who have been jaded by life and never had their happy ending.
Yeah,
like, yeah. And if you talk about it, what's happening with Spike, it's like he's never gotten his closure.
Nope.
For his storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's all about the journey.
If you think about Jed about the and everybody journey, else, and they have this stuff like they kind of made peace with the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not Spike. Like his stuff is not resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this brings me into one of my favorite things about Cowboy Bebop is Ed.
Oh.
Because, here's the thing. When I was first viewing it, because as I said before, my father has great taste and you brought me up to have great taste. But I didn't watch Cowboy Bebop until I was probably 16. And as I was watching it the first time, I loved all the characters. I hadn't really formed much of an opinion on it yet, but I didn't like Ed. Because I was like, Ed is kind of annoying. And then my father looked at me and said, Duncan, Ed, that's the point. And he looked, and I was like, Dad, you're being stupid. And then he looked at me and was like, no, he's the kid in it. And then looked at me, like you. And I was like, well, shucks, Dad. Maybe you're smarter than I thought you were. Because he was so right. Compare, like, the thing about Ed is that he stands out, or she stands out, so vibrantly from the other characters.
Yes.
The other characters are all jaded and unfortunately melancholy the whole time. Yes. The whole time, they just act like those gloomy old people who, you know, smoke too much and drink too much. And in all honesty, you never felt like they were ever young. They were born old.
It begs the question that maybe the reason why Ed is the way she is because she hasn't had enough life experience as the other characters. Yeah. So
she's
maybe
not world weary.
Maybe she will eventually become them broken when she gets to be the age that, you know, like, I don't know. It's just the thought that I have when I watch the show.
Not only that, if you think about it, it kind of changes them too. And kind of brings light to their life on a day to day.
Well, just like kids do. Right? I think this is a quote from my English teacher. He said that whenever you talk to somebody and they say that they don't like kids, they're saying a lot. All right? Because there's something different about someone whenever they just say, I don't like kids, period. Because either they're young and stupid and they never actually met the sort of kids that really bring out the color in life, or they really do hate the things that bring out the color in life. Like, they hate the things that make life so innocent and whimsical.
Yes.
It's just, man, it's such a good show. it's so good.
It is.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think that these are the philosophical things that are hidden in each character. Like a message that they are giving just with their character.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Dude, talk about how good Faye is. Oh, my Lord. What an amazing character.
Oh, she's great, man.
Yeah, my third favorite female character of all time.
So, man, so basically, the way this episode goes...
We're back to the episode.
I just remember you were... I don't know if you remember, you were going to a point before... Yep.
The whole point of it is that one of Spike's lines is, man, you know what I always told you I hated? The three things I hated most were women, dogs, and kids. And now we have all three.
Yes, I remember that.
And that just says so much about how great the whole show. Oh man, yeah. Go back to the episode. I talked too much.
No. That's okay. I didn't want to. I just remember you were getting to a point. So before I get my point, I wanted to make sure that you get your point across. I was just saying how there must be some weakness with Spike and female characters, because I see that in every single episode, including this one.
So I can tell you, because I like the show so much, I know he's lying. And every time that comes across or something, he always says this. He says, I already was killed by a woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I remember
that. So right there, he's giving you what's his weakness, what's a thorn to his roses.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know? That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because it is the rose, right? That's because from the first 10 seconds, as it shows you, here's the rose with all of its beautiful luster, but the rest of the world is black.
Yes.
Yes. He's just a sad character, you know?
Yeah.
Can we talk about how lonely all the characters are? They're all so lonely.
It is kind of funny to see how lonely each one of the characters is, and they're together in one ship.
Yes.
See, none of us are philosophers, and none of us are, you know, like these deep theologians, but we can just talk about the obvious things in this show, and it sounds like we're brilliant.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm gonna tell you something. All of us are philosophers. All we need to do in order to be philosophers is to know that we know nothing.
Thank you, Socrates.
I agree with that. I definitely do. I'm gonna take you on your word. So, man, I mean, this show just it just leaves me without. It's just amazing. And the more episodes you get under your wing on this, I mean, we're just basically just mainly talking about the first episode here in this
yeah.
But what I love about the most about the show is how you have all these different stories and they're intertwined in a way that it just fits. It doesn't need, you know, it's not awkward. It's, you know, everything just fits into place. Everything that happened to everyone. It's just like everyone there was meant to be.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think the entire show is encapsulated in, I think, Spike's most famous line, "You'll carry that weight."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we were talking about, when you're talking about Cowboy Bebop, you have to talk about each character. And when you talk about each character, you suddenly start talking about life, existence, and the universe. But when you say you'll carry that weight, because Spike, each character is carrying something, right? And we talked about it with Ed. Ed's the one not carrying anything. That's why she's always animated to be so jumpy and lively and twirly. But the rest of them are slouching.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are, you know, you got someone like Jet who's big and proud and keeping his shoulders up, but finally, whenever he's done, he just curls over. And it is just beautiful art when you think about it that way, where just how they walk shows you that, man, they've been through something.
That's another thing that you could see immediately after watching the show is the way the animators made their movements. It almost, especially from the intro, when you watch the intro, the movements are natural. You might as well just grab an actor and have them do the movements, and it will look exactly the same, because animation doesn't normally look that way. So
that's true.
They do it. No, they did a really good job of making them look as if it was you're actually watching live action.
I think that you could never replicate this. Like, that's really part of why I said that I'm not hopeful for the Netflix series, because this needs to be animated. This show, it needs to be animated. There's something about it that, you know, each of their lives, each of their stories are so picturesque. It's so perfectly imperfect how melancholy and, you know, nihilistic the whole thing can come across as, that it feels so real. Everyone can relate to it, but no, it's a picture. It's a snapshot of your life. Again, in that one moment, that one feeling that you have, that's what it's showing you.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
And I'll let you know, like, I kind of get where you're coming from, because I do have high expectations from the show. So I am prone to be disappointed very easy for the live version. But what the characters are bringing into the story, I think that most of them, it's just like Duncan said, all of us can really relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about them, besides Ed, all of them really have a heavy past that everybody can relate to it.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Do one of you want to do a synopsis of the episode, so we can take it beat to beat and no one else gets to interrupt?
So, in this in this episode, basically, a high overview is one of the bounties that they gotta capture to get pay so they can have, you know, beef finally.
Yes.
It's Asimov, who is a basically is selling red eye. Red eyes?
It's called a bunch of things throughout the episode. It's basically crack for your eyes.
Yeah, so you inject.
It's some shit that makes you evade bullets.
Yeah.
Some major shit.
Yeah, that's some major drugs, man. You just kind of like skip bullets just by putting that thing on. So basically, apparently this thing takes, what is it that they say, 3 months to make just an ounce?
Yeah, I think it's like 2 months, but it's like 2 months for a dose and super pure or something.
Yeah, and they took Asimov and I still don't know if that the girlfriend, they actually took the entire batch from this crime syndicate.
Tomato juice.
There you go. Tomato juice. So, yeah. So basically, Spike is going to capture them and collect on their reward. So through the whole episode, we see encounters between Spike and this characters, and it ends on a shootout by the police, where he's actually following
the police and other bounty hunters.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So in the episode, at the end of the episode, the people that Spike were chasing, the Asimov and supposed girlfriend, they ended up dead. Oh, actually, let me rewind a little bit. She kills him.
Yeah.
And then she gets killed by the police.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's a hard cut right after. So, like, Spike is there chasing it down in, like, basically the space equivalent of a Mustang. And he's chasing it down. He sees, like, a blood splatter on the windshield and then goes up to see the female that, or like the,
yeah,
you know, the female interest of Asimov. But she whispers something like, adios, space cowboy. That's what she's whispering.
Adios, cowboy, yes.
Yeah. And then she gets shot, she's dead, and then it's a hard cut to Jet cooking up some peppers. Like, hard cut right back to the beginning of the episode. Like, nothing had changed. Like, nothing had happened.
Yep. Another day in paradise.
I remember the very first time that I watched that first episode. When she looks at Spike and say those words, I got goosebumps on my arm.
Yep.
It's just, whoa. Yeah.
Well, because if any other show had said that, it'd be so cheesy.
Yes.
Like, some of the dialogue in it, you feel like, that's not very unique. There's no way that dialogue is great, but it's wonderful.
I think the name of the female was Katrina.
Okay.
I think so, too.
I think that's her name.
Now, here's the thing. Here's my opinion about Cowboy Bebop. As an anime, as a series, I think that Cowboy Bebop kind of became like a mark point, like a landmark on what anime is.
It actually changed the anime scene forever.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, you know, like I said before, I would watch Japanese just because I didn't feel anything when I was watching it in the English translation.
And it was just so bad. I looked up who the actor was for Spike. It's Steve Blum, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who's also the one, he's also the voice actor for Mugen for Samurai Champloo.
Yes.
Another amazing one.
I did watch that one. Now I know that the voice were familiar. I know now why.
Yeah. Because they're the same character. They really are the same character. I need to rewatch both of these shows now. God.
So, you know.
It goes my next 10 hours.
So, you know, now we know the backstory of Spike. You know, he was in rural Japan as a samurai.
Yeah.
and I'll give you a funny fact. Both animes are 27 episodes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
And they're both supposed to be evoking the same feel, right? And they're both, yes. Ah, man, Okay, here's the thing. I could do my own entire separate podcast about those two shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe it. Yeah.
We have to do episodes about Samurai Champloo.
Yeah, we have to do another episode on that.
Well, wait, that's not sci-fi, right?
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We'll just that's watch true. It. Well, actually, maybe we can do it on your show.
We'll listen to yours, man.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, think about Perfectly Average Guys. It really is. We're trying to make it a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my father made me some taquitos because my father is still the coolest person ever.
Nice. But,
oh, man, it's great. Still living with your parents whenever you're working a good job, it is the life. You're pimping out. But
hey, man, I'm up for adoption. Let me know.
Oh, hey!
Nice.
I always wanted another brother.
There you go, man.
But we're trying to make PAG be this variety show, right? We just recorded an episode with a really good friend of mine, but he's an up-and-coming musician. And we just did basically a whole show talking about his art, talking about the stuff he made, the inspiration behind his music. And that's nothing like Jackson and I's normal conversation where we, you know, talk about basically nothing. But we just want to try things. We want to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I do like that format. And in part, you can tell how much I like it, because in parts, granted, we're doing in sci-fi format, but it's actually the same format that we have. And that's the reason why I listen to you guys, because of that, the way that, you know, your format is.
It's Thank a conversation you. That invites listeners to.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because here's something that, if I'm going to get into like the mind of the podcaster, right? Basically, something that I realized about myself is that there's something, I love conversations. I really love a good conversation where you just get really deep with someone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, once you have one of those conversations with someone, whether your friendship lasts or not, whether you two stay in each other's lives or not, you shared something truly magical, right?
Yes. Yeah,
like, I agree with that.
I love that. I mean, I'm a believer. I'm a Jew. And I believe that that's like, the image of God that everyone is made in is that little bit that you can get where just like, wow, people are cool. And I've always wanted to have, you know, bring other people into it. Mm-hmm. So like, if I could have one of these conversations where, man, we're so electric. We're bouncing off each other with 1,000 jokes and we're just going 1,000,000 miles an hour. And then we slow down to something that really hits you.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes back to the jokes, and then it goes back to the banter of two good friends. You know, that's what I want. And I was like, there's no show out there that does that. Why not do it myself?
Yeah.
And think about it. What's life about, anyways? It's about those experiences you have with other human beings.
Exactly.
That's what stays. Again, just like we're talking about Spike.
Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about the people you meet along that ride, the experiences that you have with them.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So it feels like we're coming to the end of the episode, but I don't know what we're doing. Like, is this the end of the episode, or is there something else you guys want to say?
Well, welcome to the club, because we never know what we're doing.
Yeah.
But yes. Cool,
that just felt so poetic. It felt well-versed, well-timed, a good little bit under an hour, you know.
It felt like
my computer's at 2%.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, this is the end of the show, and I really want to thank you for being part of an episode. I don't mean to speak for you, Giancarlo, but...
You can, man.
I really enjoy our conversations. And I definitely will invite you and your co-host a second time to come to our podcast.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm sad you're actually going to be here, but yeah, this is a good time.
Yeah,
us podcasters have to look out for each other.
Yeah,
definitely. Especially us unmonetized ones.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And you know, and many people do ask me that. And it's like, basically, to be honest with you, I'm just doing this because I enjoy it.
It's so much fun.
Granted, I mean, if it becomes something eventually, that, you know, that's all fine and dandy. But the main thing is I enjoy what I do. And I'm sure Giancarlo does too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, do you think that I'll be able to talk all the crap that I talk about for a long hour?
You know, and the whole idea just came up from us, you know, discussing a movie in the sofa and talking this deep conversation. And it's like, you know, that it would be nice if we can bring, you know, this to everyone. And you know, not everybody enjoys it, but if one person enjoys it, I'm happy.
You know, well, their opinions don't matter. All I'm saying, if you don't like Sci-Fi Remnant, get out.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
At least keep...
It's the same thing on this show, man.
Yeah.
Hey, at least keep your bad opinions to yourself.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to say thank you so much. And, you know, we had a little glitch trying to communicate, you know, and get together. But I'm so glad we finally made it. Yeah. And I have a blast. I had a total blast. Thank you so much.
No, not a problem. Everyone, go watch Cowboy Bebop. It's so good.
Yes.
Please.
So good.
Yes. And then let us know what you think. Believe me, you're doing yourself a favor. Just watch it.
Yeah. And go follow the podcast.
Yep.
Go follow my show. It's mediocre.
But it's good.
No, I don't think it's mediocre.
It's really good.
You can call it average if you want.
Yeah, average.
It's title, but I don't think it's
perfectly average, guys.
It's actually awesome. We had a joke that now that we've had, like, there was one of our friends who, like, really loved the podcast. He was a mega fan about it. And, like, every single episode he'd comment, "Why am I not on the podcast yet?"
Nice. So, you know, and that makes sense, because when you listen to your podcast, Perfectly Average Guys, you feel that you're, you know, one of those friends, and you're inside that room and you're having those discussions.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I like the most.
Sorry, my computer died.
Okay.
But I just want to say it's been a long outro, but thank you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for everything, Duncan. We appreciate you being on our show, and we hope that we'll do another collab soon.
Well, this is the end of our show for now. Please let us know if you liked this episode.
And if you have any ideas about which topics you'd like to discuss for the next episodes, feel free to reach out. We would like to hear your thoughts on it.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at @SciFiRemnant. And if you like this podcast, share it.
And don't forget to follow us on your favorite platform for podcasts. We will love your support. Thank you so much.
See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off.